Hello, everybody. Today we're going to be talking about a U.S. influencer who was invited to China to see a Shein factory, made what could be a bit of propaganda, and now is apologizing for doing so. Let's talk about it. All right, what is up, dudes and dudettes? We are back. Happy Wednesday. Taylor's in the producer's bay today.
Oh, yes, I nailed it. Okay, I was worried. I'm rusty on the boards here. Scott's been holding it down, but
Taylor,
I at least picked the right camera.
What are you doing here?
What am I doing here, bud? Well, I haven't been to LA for a while, and our boss, Craig, was like, when are you coming back? And we have our mid-year reviews and some meetings and some campaigns are about to launch. So I'm like, you know what? Let's just come out and, satisfy everyone who's been waiting for me to get back out here.
So. It's good to have you, Taylor. Yeah. It's good to have you. Guys, we're going to get into this story, but before we do, please like and subscribe. So many of you are watching the show right now, so give it a like. I'd love to see how many of you are active as we're getting into these stories today. We're going to talk about a U.S. influencer who goes by the username DannyDMC on her respective platforms. She was recently part of a group of influencers that was invited to visit a Shein factory in China. For those of you who don't know what Shein is, it is one of the largest corporations to date, responsible for selling fast fashion, and specifically to women, although they have fashion for everybody under the sun. In the US, it's very popular among young women where they will shop on Shein, get, I don't know, at this point, hundreds of pieces of clothing for very, very low prices. And it's not known for being the best quality. It's not known for being necessarily made ethically, although those ideas have not been substantiated yet. A lot of people say that Shein clothing is made in sweatshops and with possible forced labor, but that is all alleged, okay? There was an incident where a young woman had apparently gotten an item from Shein, which in the tag, the words "need your help" were sewn into the tag. So interpret that how you will. I believe Shein put out a statement that said the reason that "need your help" was sewn into the tag was because the garment needed help, and you know, you put fabric softener in there to protect the material and the fabric that the clothing's made out of. So again, interpret that how you will, but that's the situation at hand. Shein has a really bad rep, not necessarily for the clothing's quality, although the quality is not great, but because of the ethical concerns in the way that the clothing is made. Also, its lack of sustainability. We're talking about a clothing brand that puts on thousands of new designs and items onto its shop every single day. We are talking millions upon millions upon millions of sales every single day. One TikToker that I saw was covering this said that there are markets in other countries that take in thrown away fast fashion and thrown away clothing from companies like Shein and Zara and H&M, and they were getting 15 million pieces of clothing every week from, you know, Americans and people from larger countries who are purchasing these products for a few dollars on the internet, wearing it a couple times and then getting rid of it. So people are mad that this young woman went to the Shein factory. I'm going to show you guys the video itself. I'm going to allow you to make your own judgments on this, and we'll break it down.
Day three. We just pulled up. My mouth, I'm still picking it up off the ground. It's so big.
Today we are at the Shein warehouse,
where the products come directly from this facility to your home. Most fascinating thing is that I've seen the exact process of Shein.
And this is Danny, by the way, out of all of these influencers visited. This is the one who is receiving most of the heat.
Clothing, I've seen how it's designed, I've seen how it's made, now I'm gonna see how it's packaged and shipped off. And I feel like that's such a unique perspective to be able to see as not only a creator, but a consumer of Shein.
Now, if you're watching this, the factory is surprisingly empty the amount of volume that this company is reported to be selling on any given day. This company is currently worth $100 billion. And of course, that's sort of unfathomable. How much is $100 billion? The only companies that are within the same rank, they're comparable, or I believe a little bit higher in their earnings, are ByteDance and SpaceX. So this fast fashion clothing company is hanging with the ranks of ByteDance, the Chinese company that owns TikTok, and SpaceX. That's a lot of money, a lot of volume. Like I said, they upload thousands of new designs every single day to their site and are making millions upon millions of sales at any given moment.
Collect and put everything together, and then ribbing is like breaking them up into smaller batches.
Okay.
Yeah, at that packing, to like
for order,
and the ship.
Okay.
There's a lot of automation and technology here compared to the other places. This is like less human run and more technology and automation like put into the actual process. So I'm really excited to see what that looks like.
Okay, so I just put this in here, face up.
I like the experience because it was real. You know, it wasn't just like we got pictures or videos of these warehouses or facilities. We were actually there.
So you get the gist, right, of what this trip entailed. So Dani herself, this was posted by Shein US. Dani herself posted a video on her TikTok, which is now been deleted. But if you go and watch it, it's very clear that they were given somewhat of a script to put in these videos of, you know, there's a little bit of controversy surrounding Shein, and, you know, the factory looked clean and pristine and everybody working there was so happy and everything was going great and it's mostly automated. And she even at one point said, you know, your girl's an investigative journalist. So I was asking questions about how they run their company and the workers and all that stuff, and they answered with complete authenticity and honesty. And I'm not going to come down too hard on this girl, right? The internet is doing it enough. What happened was a company reached out, didn't offer these influencers money. They weren't paid, you know, in checks, but they were paid to the tune of sending them to China on Shein's dime, giving them accommodations, sending them through the factories. I believe they got other events that were covered by Shein. So there was somewhat of a payment involved in being able to go on this whole excursion. And then they said, in return, we want you to make these, you know, frilly, beautiful videos about our company. So people were pissed.
This is the world of fashion. Fast fashion is a little foreign to me, but I do have a point of reference. When Amazon made the Rings of Power, they let a bunch of like Lord of the Rings influencers, like people who have channels like that explain deep things about Lord of the Rings and stuff like that. They gave them early access to watch the show and like a good goodie bag and perks and stuff. And then all the press early on before the show came out was very friendly, very, you know, praising the new show from all these people. And when the show came out and it sucked, everyone called them shills for taking the perks. And that kind of, you know, might have swayed their opinion just a little bit.
Right. Sometimes when you get a free trip to go somewhere and then they give you, you know, a tour that they've completely, you know, fabricated for you, you're gonna come out with a video that might not be the clearest depiction of what's happening. Now, as far as what actually happens with Shein workers, it is a mystery for the most part. It's very hard to get information about what is being created. Some are saying that the actual workers who are creating these designs and creating the clothing are paid pennies per piece of clothing that they make, that some of them are working up to 18 hours a day and are paid, I believe, $500 to $560-something dollars every single month while making 500 pieces of clothing per day. Now, interpret that how you will. I know the economy is very different in China. I'm sure pay and average income is very different in China. So those are things to take into account. I don't think it's anywhere near what we would be looking at here in the United States of America. Although upon looking into some of the reports, possible reports of what's happening at Shein, it's not painting a pretty picture of what labor entails. And we know that a lot of fast fashion companies are engaging in this sort of stuff. I'm sure, you know, Zara and H&M probably have their own little squabbles, allegedly. I have to say allegedly. I don't know this for sure. I am just speculating. And recently, I believe Fashion Nova, which is a massive brand, has a lot of influencers and sponsorships that they're throwing out, was caught here in Los Angeles paying their sewers below minimum wage. I believe they were paying a little over $2 an hour for the people who are creating their clothing here in the United States. So there's plenty of criticism. If we're going to criticize influencers for taking these deals and going on these trips, there's probably plenty of criticism to be levied out all across the board with all of these different brands and companies. Dani, of course, got a lot of heat. She first defended her action and said, anybody who would have gotten this offer to go on this trip to China and to see the Shein factory, you would have taken it too. It's not my fault that I took an opportunity that was presented to me. She got more heat for doubling down and then released an apology, which we will listen to a part of right now. And I'll let you all be the judge of whether or not this works for you.
Feel like a show. It didn't feel like something was quickly put together.
Influencer Dani Carbonari is speaking out against growing criticism after posting glowing reviews of Shein's operations in China. In an almost 12-minute video, the influencer begins by saying she is imperfect and can take accountability for her actions. She describes being interested in the brand over their size, inclusivity, and affordability, and said she's friends with someone who worked there who helped make further introductions. She explains the company took her on a brand trip to Tahoe, where she says she brought up many concerns and questions to the higher ups. Later, she said she had an off-the-record meeting with political people and journalists where higher ups addressed more questions and gave answers.
To me, I'm a very like logistic person, and they just gave so many numbers, and like that's when I learned about like their auditing system and how they do have so many suppliers.
I'm a logistic person. I too am a logistic person.
Explains that the China trip was organized because the company wanted to put an end to criticism.
We're aware of all these rumors and all of this stuff that's going on, and we want to put an end to it. The trip, we were not paid for the trip. We were not paid to post. Our travel accommodations were taken care of.
But
BFFR. I get it. Like, you're in heat for something that you probably never would have thought was going to happen to you, but you were paid, right? You did take the hotel and all the other stuff that was, you know, part of the trip, which they paid for with money, which means there was a form of payment involved, although it wasn't, you know, actual tangible money. But, you know, who am I to talk, right? I have an iPhone right here and, you know, a MacBook, and we run this whole show with stuff that presumably could have been made in less than ideal conditions.
I know. My shoes today are Adidas. And they did the tuck for, they had the male modeling, the women's swimsuits. And
yeah,
it's like that same problem that we get into with any restaurant you go to. Do you have to like look up what the owner's political opinions are to make sure that they're, you know, it's so hard. But I guess when there is, like in this case, with this fast fashion, there seems to be a lot of bad publicity, a lot of hearsay about the working conditions and low pay and
right,
you know, hours that are crazy. So you should have antenna up, but it's just this tough thing where you have to determine, like, you know, where you draw the line individually and how much is it on me to do this. And but I guess in her case, as an influencer, you're being courted by a specific brand that's been, mm-hmm, you know, allegedly, you know, said to have these issues. And I think your antenna should be up a little more than this. And the first report kind of said that she had nothing but glowing things to say. And now it sounds like she's trying to spin it as, I went over there as like a private investigator to try to figure out what's going on for
right,
y'all.
So, I mean, we're in this new stage of marketing now where it's just like companies are just paying random individuals who you trust on the internet because you like their personality, and then you get these endorsements that could or could not be worth anything. It's just hard to trust anybody's opinion at all these days now when there's so much, you know, money floating around and free trips. And I think this is going to continue to be a massive problem that's going to grow within the influencer space, because companies are now realizing that they can capitalize on the attention that TikTokers are getting and Instagrammers are getting or whatever. So is a girl who makes fashion TikToks or like little dances and with her iPhone, is she going to look into every single company that wants to offer her $20K to make a video? Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. I mean, I think a lot of people are just going to take the check and do the thing, which really, if you have the problem, the main problem is not with the girl, it's with Shein. But I mean, there's criticism to be given. It's just so hard. How do you criticize when it's almost become impossible to not use products that were made unethically? You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. And as you're talking about that, my mind went to, of course, the political administrations we've seen that have recruited young TikTok talent to come and spend. Yeah.
It's crazy.
And it's like, yeah, I mean, I guess people get mad at the TikTokers themselves, but it's kind of a weird, like, I don't want to say exploitation, but you're definitely using young people and influencers and trying to just, you know, rent out their platform and their influence to improve your image, which if you're saying yes to it, I guess you are complicit, but you know, plenty of the critique should be aimed at the people paying for this and putting it on to try to improve their image too. So we shouldn't just stop at the outrage at the influencer. We should look at, okay, this is all part of a psyop on the part of Shein.
Yeah, unbelievable. That, I mean, it's quite brilliant. If you're getting all this harassment over what you're doing in your factories and with your workers, why not pay somebody to do the exact opposite? It reminded you of the Lord of the Rings thing. It reminded me of a far more serious example, but when China...
Lord of the Rings is serious, okay? I'm just kidding. I take it seriously.
It is serious. But when China was getting, and still is getting, all the heat for the like Uyghur concentration camps and the re-education camps that they have there, they did this whole video where they invited people to sort of tour with their cameras, and they're like, look at this Uyghur Muslim who is painting, and this one plays the violin, and this one is reading a book. See? We're not doing anything. There's no genocide happening here. It's very reminiscent of
Korea energy too. You know, they have like they'll bring journalists in and take them on a tour and show them all these beautiful buildings and these people who are like overly happy and excited to be alive and be North Korean and so proud of their country.
Yeah,
and everything.
People are dancing in the streets and stuff. Yeah. And then, you know,
then you hear Yeonmi Park being like, yeah, they're genociding us. And
yeah, it's giving that sort of energy. I'm curious to see how this goes. So she's now put out another apology. It seems like it's being received well. And I guess that's the cycle that's going to continue to happen here, is that company's going to endorse, it's going to end up being a bad company, it becomes an indictment on the influencer, and then we go through the loop of apologies and anger. I think that happened with, you know, BetterHelp, the BetterHelp ads that are all over YouTube
yeah,
now. I think they had their own little controversy where at the beginning people were like, this is not a real service and all this stuff, and all these YouTubers were talking about BetterHelp, but that seems to have blown over because I see their company being talked about everywhere. So just an interesting bit of news that I thought, oh, that's a interesting bit of hot water to be stuck in. So we'll see what happens there. I do recommend that you don't shop at Shein, probably. Given the nature of what it seems their business is. Plus, it just can't be, this can't be good. You can put like 50 things in your cart at Shein and it will come out to like $80.
I know. This is the dilemma of global capitalism, right? Everything's about trade-offs, but there's like ethical trade-offs as part of that equation.
Mm-hmm.
If you're outsourcing labor or manufacturing to countries that have looser regulations or lower pay, you benefit from the cheaper products, but there's the trade-off of you're selling your soul for, you know, cheaper products.
Right.
You can be. And it's easy for us to just turn a blind eye to all that or be okay with companies that, you know, just tell us everything's going fine, but reality on the ground, who's to know? Which is why, like, journalism is an important thing, and people getting to the bottom of what's actually happening is an important thing. And what's difficult in all this is, like, I didn't see very many, like, hard facts or any, like, you know, unequivocal proof that this is that there are, you know, human rights violations or abuses going on in here. It's kind of rumors, but there's also like, it's a lot of smoke, so you'd be foolish to ignore it.
Right.
But can you just dismiss an entire operation out of hand? I don't know.
It's hard. You know, it's just like a feeling, right? Which was sort of what happened with the whole TikTok thing and the Senate hearing where they brought in the CEO and were questioning him about everything that's happening on the platform and why it's so popular and are they tracking people and all this stuff. You just like, you know, I'm getting a feeling like it's giving notes of Chinese spy, but you know, I don't have anything to substantiate that, but yeah, I think this is just where we're at now. I don't think they're ever gonna truly find out what's happening at Shein, given that it is probably a CCP controlled company. But alas, just wanted to update you guys on that story. It's been a it's been a slow news week. Let's be honest.
We did put a poll in the chat if you guys have ever shopped on Shein or Temu, and 66% say no, 34% say yes. So 34% of you are human rights abusers. I'm just
apology video with tears now.
Yes.
Now here's another story, and this is surrounding sports. You all know that I love sports. You all know this is an area of expertise for me. This is from outkick.com. It says, people are pissed ESPN is giving the USWNT its Courage ESPY over a real-life hero, Peyton Hills. Now, this is the women's national team soccer,
yes,
presumably. And they are getting this award for their fight for equal pay, which you've all heard the Megan Rapinoes of the world complain about and say, you know, we are not paid fairly in comparison to the male soccer players, and we want to rectify that injustice by fighting for it. I believe they filed a suit, and they were given the Courage Award. Now, Taylor, I'm going to let you explain the Peyton Hills situation.
Well, I only know the broad strokes here, so maybe we do need to get some detail from the article. But as I understand it, Peyton Hillis, I know, is a former running back in the NFL. He played for the Cleveland Browns. Shout outs to Scott's favorite team. But yeah, and apparently there was a situation where two kids were drowning, and he jumped in the water and saved them, and almost was overwhelmed and taken under himself.
Wow.
But, you know, risked his life to save two children from drowning. And so people are saying that he deserved the Courage Award, not this U.S. women's national team, who have been vocal about this stuff for years and are really fighting what kind of amounts to, I don't want to say an imaginary problem, but pretty much an imaginary problem. So it's just yet another example of the true merits being overlooked in favor of wokeism.
And social justice warrior activity, it's just going to keep being pushed and pushed and awarded. Yeah, it says former NFL running back Peyton Hills, he was responsible
Hillis.
He jumped into the Gulf of Mexico to save his son and niece from drowning. He nearly died in the incident but survived, as did his son and niece, whom he heroically saved. But, you know, we're fighting that good old wage gap that apparently nobody can see. That good old invisible wage gap, and those are the people who choose to be, who should be cheered on for their activism and courage. I don't even know, just have we lost sight of what the word courage means anymore? I just don't know. Like, it seems like we're just rewarding the wrong things in this day and age. Now, if you like kneel during the national anthem, that's courage. If you go to a pride parade and you bring your kids, that's courage. If you're like a drag queen that dances in front of little boys and girls, that's courageous for some reason. I think we just completely lost sight of what that word actually means, and how we should value that word in a way that we value it is actually saving the awards that we give to people who are courageous for actual courageous people. That might be helpful if you actually just like hold that near and dear to your heart, give a little bit of reverence to it. Not that I care at the end of the day. This is the ESPN. Obviously, they can give the award to whoever it is that they want.
This is coming from the people who gave Caitlyn Jenner the Woman of the Year.
Right. So. Like, they don't have the best rep, right? They gave that to Caitlyn Jenner. They do the moment of silence for, like, LGBTQ people and their allies and all this stuff. They had the whole BLM thing when the George Floyd riots were going on and doing all the different activism they could do surrounding that and virtue signaling. So this is by no means a surprising, you know, development on the part of ESPN. But I would just like to see somebody really come forward and be like, you know what, this is probably not the best direction to go in. And maybe there's somebody who is a better candidate, but the somebody does happen to be a white male, so.
Oh yeah, well, what they do can't be celebrated in any way.
You're immediately disqualified. Like, you can't be in movies anymore. You can't get awards anymore. Nobody wants to talk about anything good that you've done because you are inherently a bad force on the world. So he was never going to get the Courage Award in the first place.
I guess not. By the way, I just fact-checked myself. Caitlyn Jenner did not win Women of the Year from ESPN. She won the Courage Award. So same award.
Woman of the Year from who? What was it? What there was a Woman of the Year award.
I think that was Leah Thomas won the NCAA, or like they were. Leah Thomas was UPenn's nominee for NCAA's Woman of the Year, I think. But
yeah,
anyways.
But Caitlyn Jenner won something. Where? What was that from?
The Google will help us while you pull
Glamour.
It up. Oh, Glamour
Woman of the Year, which also. Makes sense. Glamour UK recently did that cover with the trans man who was pregnant, you know, doing the whole men can get pregnant thing. Yep. Courage.
They're just on a tear. They did the This Is Beautiful or This Is Healthy with the like morbidly obese model
on
the front. This says This Is Healthy.
Wonderful. We got a $50 super chat.
We did.
From Nick Tyler. It says, how on earth can the U.S. national women's team difference in pay be seen as an injustice when they were offered the same contract negotiation as the U.S. national men's team, but chose to get paid differently. Side note, I heard that 1975 shops at Shein. You're not getting me with these 1975 jokes anymore, guys. You're not getting to me.
Almost going to not read them anymore at the protest.
No matter how much money you give. Yeah. It's interesting because... That's a big argument to be made when it comes to any sort of pay gap that is being seen, is that a lot of women, and this has been like statistically proven, do not go into negotiations fighting hard enough for themselves and hard enough for their pay. And they don't put themselves in precarious situations like men do. They don't like take the risk of applying for something that they may not be qualified for, asking for something that they feel like they maybe, you know, don't deserve, or asking higher than what they feel they do deserve. Men are way more likely to just like go out of bounds and say, I want to be paid this much. This is the position that I want. And women take a more timid approach to it. You could argue maybe that women are socialized in that way, but
they're
we all know.
They're higher in trait agreeableness.
Exactly.
That's what Jordan Peterson would say, and which is a true, like, psychologists can observe psychometric data through testing and establish scientifically that there are different traits that different people have. And on average, the average woman is going to be higher in trait agreeableness psychologically than a man. And so if you're higher in that, you're not going to be as assertive and aggressive in negotiations. And that's going to show up in pay. And right. That's one factor. And not in sports specifically, I think the biggest factor, though, is just not so much the slice of the pie that you're getting, but how big the pie is compared to men's sports. Men's sports bring in a lot more revenue. So men, let's say the athletes get 70% of the revenue for the NBA. 70% of the revenue in the WNBA is the same proportion, but a much smaller, being cut from a much smaller pie.
Right.
So there's going to be a pay gap by virtue of how big the enterprise is.
And I don't know what the viewership and support looks like for the U.S. women's national team in soccer. But I just don't think it's going to be that big. Maybe it is. Maybe you get me wrong. But if a lot of people are watching a team that can be beat by 15-year-old boys, I just don't know what's going on there.
Or 40-year-old.
Or 40-year-old men. we did cover that in our Riley Gaines video, which you guys can go and check out. But yeah, I just go on a strong limb here and say that there's probably a more courageous individual to be the recipient of said award. But alas...
And like that's the thing too, is like, you know, what are the stories of courageous women or courageous athletes that we're not hearing, because it's so courageous to just, you know, cry about unequal pay when it's not really unequal.
Yeah. Or, these are good questions.
Yeah. Like who should be the woman of the year that is actually a woman and not just someone dressing up as one, like, you know.
He said it, not me. Now on to even more important news, guys. This is the new story of apparently the century. There is the massive possibility of a cage fight between Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg.
Sorry. You're good.
Between Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, your two tech bros in the modern day and age. And apparently Dana White is the middleman in making this happen, and they're probably going to be fighting in the UFC, assuming that both parties remain in the positive state that they have in regard to this fight. Here's a clip of Dana White talking about exactly that.
Is there a possibility this is really going to happen? Well, just to give some clarification. So what he said is Mark Zuckerberg responded with "send me location," which is something that Khabib Nurmagomedov says when people challenge him. So that was what "send me location" meant. And I was talking to both Elon and Mark last night. Both guys are absolutely dead serious about this.
Now, tell us why you say that?
Because they both said, yeah, we'll do it. They both want to do it. Mark Zuckerberg hit me up first and said, is he serious? And I said, I don't know. Let me ask him. I asked him and he said, yeah, I'm dead serious. You know, obviously for and I agree with you, Harvey, this would be the biggest fight ever in the history of the world. Bigger than anything that's ever been done. It would break all pay-per-view records. These guys would raise, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars for charity. And, you know, you don't have to be a fight fan to be interested in this fight. You everybody would want to see it.
Hmm. So that's interesting. Who do you think is going to win that?
Oh, that for sure, up? Zuckerberg. Because Zuckerberg trains in jiu-jitsu. He's been in tournaments and stuff. Elon, admittedly, does not even work out.
Right. So he's on, like, what, Wegovy? Isn't that what he says? Yeah. He's on those Wegovy shots for weight loss and stuff.
I'm going to put a poll in the chat if you guys want to see this fight.
How tall is Elon Musk? Hold on. Let's look into this.
I think he's, like, over 6 feet tall.
You think he's over 6 foot? Okay. Yeah, he's got, like, this is 6'1" and a half or something like that. Okay. That says Zuckerberg is 5'8". This is what that says. 5'8". Okay. So, got 6 inches on him if we're going to say 6'2" instead of 6'1 and a half. That could be an advantage. Well, not could be. It is an advantage.
It is. Yeah.
But Mark Zuckerberg does seem to be in better shape than Elon Musk is. Here's
a
video.
How tall is Zuckerberg?
5'8".
Oh. Wow. How tall are you?
He's a shorty. I'm 5'7".
Yeah, so you're almost as tall as the billionaire owner of Facebook.
5'7", 5'7 and a half, something like that. Yeah,
some almost change.
Almost as tall as Mark Zuckerberg.
You can take him.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know about that. Let's see this video. This is him training with Lex Fridman. Lex Fridman is somehow training with both of these men, or has trained with Mark Zuckerberg in the past, was recently training with Elon Musk. Here's the clip.
Oh, that's fast. What are they hiding?
I know.
Oh, he's choked him out.
Nice, Mark. There it is.
Lex looks like he's the same size.
Yeah, they look similar. I just saw a bunch of guys tapping on each other. I don't know what any of that means. I'm relying on the audience.
Part
for
of me
one.
Is like, I respect him because, hey, they've trained in jiu-jitsu. I haven't, but it also kind of looks like two little kids. Like,
I think maybe because the way it's edited. But yeah, I feel like the 6-inch difference, though, has to make like a big... What are their age differences? How old is Mark Zuckerberg?
It's Elon's birthday today, I think, right?
I don't know. I don't follow these things.
I mean,
Mark,
it's hard to miss.
Zuckerberg... age. Okay, he's 39. How old is Elon Musk?
I think he's like 50 something.
52?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I don't know.
Gap.
I don't know. Who do you guys think is going to win?
Right now we have it at 62% in favor of Elon, 38% Zuckerberg's.
Are you guys being biased?
Yeah, I think y'all are biased.
I expected it to be a 50-50 split.
Maybe who we think is going to win the fight has a direct correlation to the stringency of your free speech policies on the platform that you own.
Oh my gosh. That'd be amazing. Imagine if this was like a censorship versus like free speech fight. Yeah. And like your future depended on it.
See, the censorship people would be rigging it in their favor, and the free speech people would be like, okay, sera, sera.
So my boyfriend takes jiu-jitsu classes. I've thought about doing it, but then I know, here's what happened. You show up, you're probably the only girl in the class, and I am not rolling with another man on the ground. I just refuse.
So,
and it's so gross, and they're all sweaty and disgusting, and I can't do it. Even though it's probably the most useful martial art you could take. I just can't do it.
And if you go to a gym out here in LA, they'll probably take men who identify as women.
Yeah.
And you'll have to roll against them or else you're going to jail.
So. Horrible. Horrible. Yeah, I just don't want.
Is that a normal thing in jiu-jitsu, though, for men to roll with women?
I think so. Like, if you don't have another option, they're just going to pair you off with somebody to. I don't think there's, like, there's probably women's jiu-jitsu classes somewhere here in LA that exists somewhere. But I imagine it's few and far between that women are deciding, I want to go and fight jiu-jitsu. You know what I mean?
I feel like you should get on that.
In the meantime,
just
I'm
show
not...
up. Amanda Nunes is there. Just destroy you.
So for now, no. I'll find something else that will hopefully satisfy some of the education surrounding defense without touching sweaty men.
You're still doing that hot yoga thing? That's sweaty.
I just kind of got bored of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm down to do it, but it's just like, it's just not, I feel like I'm not learning any skills. I don't want to offend anybody who like does yoga and takes that super seriously. I know like the Russell Brands of the world really love that. But I want to know like something that I could apply in life if ever in a bad situation. So I'm like kickboxing, boxing, jiu-jitsu, karate, like something interesting.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Yeah, I want to do like the basics of jiu-jitsu because they say if you like get into a street fight or whatever and you know jiu-jitsu and the other person doesn't, you're probably going to end up on the ground and you'll be good like just with a little bit of training. So I want to at least learn the basics.
It's helpful.
Yeah.
It's helpful.
I've just, my athletic time is either gym, beach volleyball, or golf right now.
And,
but I need to maybe shift to add some time for jiu-jitsu so I can protect my family.
I wonder how that translates, like male to female. Like if you're a female who knows jiu-jitsu and a man attacks you, how does that translate? Are you gonna, you know, what's the likelihood that you get out of that scenario?
Probably better, but
probably better.
Yeah, you can still be overpowered, which is the same argument for Elon's size advantage over Zuck.
Right. Just as long as if he gets the grip on him, maybe he wins. But at 52 versus.
Just sit on him.
13 years. Not after those Wagobi shots. He doesn't have that much weight behind him anymore, does he?
Doesn't that like destroy your muscle mass or something too? Or
I don't know. I mean, I don't. You would imagine if you make as much money as Elon Musk, you'd have a personal trainer.
Mm.
So
you would imagine.
You would imagine. Like I can't fathom not putting that somewhere.
I'm sure he has one. It's just
list.
A question of like, does
whether
he
or not
apply
he's
himself?
It?
Yeah, and use it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't. I would imagine Wagobi would. Hurt the muscles in some way, shape, or form, but I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know what Wagobi
is. Don't sue us, Pfizer, whoever owns
Wagobi. Don't sue us. We've been saying a lot of stuff that like we're speculating today. But yeah, for those of you who don't know, Wagobi is a weight loss shot. It's kind of similar to like the people who are taking Ozempic. It's in that lane. And Elon Musk admittedly tweeted that he, you know, he takes Wagobi, so.
There's a thing where he admitted to microdosing ketamine, too, to treat depression. And he takes ketamine at parties.
I've heard that a lot of people, they're, you know, pioneering ketamine studies and research that apparently it's supposed to...
Is it illegal?
Be super helpful. No, no. You can get...
It's like prescription?
Yeah, you can get prescribed ketamine treatments. And they have, like, ketamine clinics now that are really getting off the ground here in the U.S. where you can go to treat your depression, apparently. Lex says, I am confused by the attack on influencers for wearing and promoting clothing that might be from slave labor, yet no one calls out the sports players wearing shoes that we know 100% are made in China with slave labor, and they mark them up with 1,000% in price. See, that's exactly what I was talking about. You can't, if you're going to criticize one person, you got to be pretty even-handed, and if you have to be even-handed, like, you just never stop, and it would be everywhere, and then guess what? The hand would have to point back at you, because... You have to be having something in your life that was not made ethically. There's just no, it just seems like there's no way, unless you are living like super minimalist. You're sourcing all your food, you're sourcing all your clothing, you're sourcing every piece of furniture that you have. It's very, very difficult to lead a completely ethically sourced life anywhere you live now. So that's why I held off. I'm not going to hate on Danny for what happened there.
Yeah, it's all just trade-offs, but I think one thing that we're seeing is, like, with the Bud Light situation, for example, is, like, if a company gets so egregious with its, you know, flying in your face with how they are doing things that are either insulting to you or just unethical or whatever, like,
right.
The more egregious it is, it's going to reach that point with people where you're like, okay, I can no longer in good conscience support this brand because these facts have been released, or they lied about this, or they endorsed this person who I don't agree with what they represent.
Right.
And that, so I think that's where, otherwise it's just trade-offs. Like I'll avoid it if I can, but I don't know how else to slice it. It's just the reality of living in this type of world.
Yeah. We all kind of just make our own little personal decisions that pan out dependent on what we feel most strongly about, it seems. So that's where we're at now, and we'll see where that takes us. I think we're going to get into Super Chats.
Alrighty,
see what you all have to say.
Let's see. I'm also running boards right now. So, okay, there we go.
Yeah, yeah,
we're doing it.
You got it.
My little floating head is still here. Okay, first one from today, which not too many today, by the way, guys. So get them in if you haven't. Alex Slusher says, it's nice to find other people around my age who are based. Amla from Unapologetic and Brett Cooper from Daily Wire are both awesome MO.
Thank you. I'm glad that you're enjoying the show, and welcome.
Welcome. You're welcome,
welcome
here.
Welcome.
Stephanie Fonseca, which definitely not her first time super chatting.
No.
So welcome
OG,
back,
OG.
Stephanie. Per last live, Amla, you broke my heart by trashing pineapple on pizza.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to break your heart. What can I do to make this better? Anything
you
but
now eat pineapple on pizza on stream.
I'm so sorry. In that case, the heart will remain broken.
I don't get the hate. I don't get the strong.
I'm not hating. Okay, I'm not hating on other people who do it. Okay, I might have insinuated that you all should be in jail, and I no longer stand by.
I may have.
I no longer stand by that statement. If you like pineapple on pizza, by all means, eat that to your heart's content. Okay.
There you go. Full endorsement right there.
Apology with tears.
Alicia Shoemaker just sends a super chat, no message. Thank you. Alice Hocard says, longtime viewer, first time super chat, watching from New Zealand, big fan of the show. Have you heard that our government has just prioritized Maori elective surgeries above New Zealand European, aka the white people?
No, I have not heard that. I'd have to look into that to substantiate the claim, but if that is true, that is kind of wild. It makes no sense to me to prioritize, you know, people of a certain region or background versus others, especially with something. You said elective surgery. At least it's elective. That helps a little bit.
Is it? Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of a little bit better than just like, you know, surgical priorities.
Yeah. But still,
very strange. I'm going to have to look into that. Wow. Ugh. Wow.
Cassidy Borwig says, Amla, this is my first actual live, been a long time follower, and I watch your videos every morning on my way to work. Lots of love from Fort Campbell.
Awesome. Thank you for watching the show every day, and lots of love back to you. Welcome to your first live. We appreciate having you.
Yeah, Fort Campbell. I think that's Kentucky. Am I right? I don't know.
Kentucky.
Let us know. Alex Centeus, what's going on, man? Mm-hmm. Hey there, gang. I'm unfortunately ashamed to admit that I purchased clothes from Shein. It's really cheap, but my clothes didn't fit, so I stopped buying.
Dude, it's just like insane. I want to actually pull up. Can we pull up? Let's see, Shein.com.
So you guys can see. For them real quick?
No, I'm not. This is not an ad. This is not sponsored, right? But if you
90% off.
USA. Yeah, look, you're like 90%
off.
Yeah, literally, look at this stuff. You can get a halter top for $4.99. It's no wonder that people are like, yeah, I'm going to go. You could literally update your entire wardrobe on like $100. This is 75 cents, 90 cents, $1.10. It's just insane. So it's just, you know, a lot of these we speculated and, you know, said alleged and all this stuff. I'm just wondering, how can you have clothing at this price without it being made unethically? Just doesn't make sense. $2, $3.
If it's too good to be true, probably. G Hansen says, missed live show Monday and wanted to give my anime Rex, Full Metal Alchemist, Brotherhood, and Code Geass, G-E-A-S-S.
I've heard of Full Metal Alchemist. A lot of people seem to love that show.
I've heard of that, and
Full
I don't know anything
Metal
about anime.
Alchemist.
And he also says Buddy Daddies is a cute, shorter anime, too.
Buddy Daddies. I don't know. I was going to say something, and I completely forgot. So that's funny.
Do you say anime or anime?
Anime.
Anime. Okay.
You were actually the first person who I've ever heard pronounce it anime.
Yeah, I don't know.
But maybe it is. I don't know.
Yeah. Case Max says, I've been watching since your second month on YouTube. You are a huge inspiration.
Thank
I'm 21
you.
And plan on starting my own podcast. Hope I can be on Unapologetic one day. Keep it up. You guys are great.
Amazing. Thank you so much. You're an OG. And I love that all of you guys are starting your own projects and stuff. You guys reach out to me sometimes and say you're starting your own podcast or starting your own show. And I think that's awesome.
I love it.
Awesome.
Put in the chat, by the way, how long y'all have been watching the show. I'm curious.
Yeah, that's going
to
blow my mind.
Yeah. How many OGs we got.
Mm-hmm.
Tenny Ball says, jiu-jitsu is based on throwing your opponent. Zuck is going to have a hard time tossing Musk, who is much heavier and taller
yeah.
than he is used to.
Yeah, that is the thing. I don't know how much it changes things. I don't know where
I don't know
the things
you
even out.
Jiu-jitsu, though. I think like that's like Aikido when you're like, you know, Steven Seagaling people around, but jiu-jitsu is more
like
grappling.
Maneuvering like, and grappling. Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, you have to get the takedown, but most fights end up on the ground anyway. And once you're there, then it's all about like getting into full guard and passing guard and all this stuff. I mean, I know a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not even going to pretend to know what that is. Yeah.
We're working on getting Amala to do a training session with a UFC fighter.
So
do a vlog of it. So stay tuned for that. I want to do it with someone who's fights in Vegas and go there on fight night. That would be awesome.
That would be dope. So fun.
Lex says, I know we already read Lex. That was a $50 one. We read those immediately. Nick Tyler again says, to clarify, both U.S. national teams were offered the same two options for compensation. The women's team chose the guaranteed pay and the men's team took the performance-based bonus pay. The latter pays higher because of simple risk-reward. Evading risk does not equal courage.
I did not know that. Again, I'll have to look into that to make sure that his claim is true.
But if it is, that's literally true. If you chose the safe option, why would you get the courage award?
Exactly.
And honestly, I would think that the women's team would choose the performance-based incentive because they go much farther in tournaments. They've won more World Cups. They do much better on the world stage than the men's team. The men's team has not won anything of significance in a long time. I mean, I think they win like the, you know, Gold Cup or whatever is over here in the Western Hemisphere. But as far as like World Cups or anything, they're
right, not really, not stacking up.
And the women's team is like kicking butt. So.
Interesting.
Anyway, are they that risk averse? Who knows? But that's interesting, Nick. Thank you. John Barry says, hey, Amal and the Boys, my second favorite band. Have you guys listened to the Menzingers? They are far superior to the 1970 something band, but check them out.
Doubt it, but I'll check them out. Menzingers? Is that what you said?
That sounds like you're trolling us. I don't know. I've never heard of that.
I'm literally looking them up right now. They are a rock band.
Is Andy Bernard in this band? It sounds like maybe a cappella band or something.
The treble tones?
Yeah. Here comes treble.
Broccoli Rob. Here they are. I've never seen these individuals before. What songs do they have? Never heard of them.
We'd play some, but we'll get sued for copyright.
Yeah, we don't want copyright
claims. I was
watching
Cam Haines on Joe Rogan, and they started talking about Jelly Roll. Have you heard of this guy? He's like an artist. Anyways, and he was like, oh yeah, we just had him on the podcast. His music's awesome. And then he started like, he's like, Jamie, play some Jelly Roll. And they like pulled up this guy's music and started playing it. And like, I'm like, if we did that, if we played like anybody's song, we would get smacked with copyright.
Some of
so
it's
hard.
Protected and some of it's not. That's the thing.
I'm like, is it because he's on Spotify? Is it just because he's Joe Rogan? Like,
right.
I don't know.
Is the guy that popular?
Yeah, Jelly Roll is. Oh. I mean, he's getting up there. Yeah.
Never met her.
Okay, let me fix the cameras here real quick. I like remember and think about what I'm doing. Sorry. Luis Bird says the Israeli technique called the Krav Maga would be great.
There's literally a Krav Maga place that's not too far from here.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
But I don't know what that entails either. I've never watched a video of what that even looks like.
From my like, you know, 30,000 foot view understanding of it is it's like the Savage one where you like poke out people's eyes and step on the top of their foot and knee them in the nuts and stuff like that. It's like literally about just like completely disabling people with no like, you know, it's actually about that and not like this martial art where it's all about respect and
all that stuff.
You know, I think Tyler, remember intern Tyler?
Yeah.
I think he does it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Or he does some kind of like self-defense stuff.
To hit up Tyler and see what he's doing.
Help us out.
That does not sound like it's for me, though.
Matthew says, Amala, you should challenge AOC on a debate.
Yeah, no, that would never get off the ground. Never get off the ground.
She no, what does Khabib say? Send her my location.
Send me location.
Send me location.
Send me location. I'll be there.
They will destroy you.
What time?
Yanni says, hey, started watching you recently. Would you collaborate with Brett Cooper sometime? Would love to see it. You must be new here.
Eventually, guys, it'll happen.
It did happen.
She gave me a shout out on her recent Jubilee video she reacted to, which I always appreciate. So we always shout each other out, given the opportunity. So, yeah.
That's nice. And she does make a cameo in an Amelie's new short documentary, which just came out like a week or two ago.
Two-second
it's on the
cameo.
Channel. Yeah, so if you desperately want to see them together.
We are in the same room in that documentary.
Yes.
For one moment in time, one suspended moment in time.
Where she very authentically is like, Amelie, what are you doing here?
Here? We didn't film that 50 times.
Anyways. Belladonna Experiment says, first time on a stream. I really appreciate your videos. It is hard to find something to listen to while playing games that isn't going to rot my brain.
Yeah, no, we chilling, as I always say. We won't rot your brain.
We chilling. Yeah.
We will never be responsible for brain rot. Only the stories we cover. Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Morty, I was just trying to think, like, that made me go down a quick mental rabbit hole of, like, you know, if like, you know, TikTok, mindlessly scrolling TikTok is junk food for your brain.
Mm-hmm.
What is unapologetic? Because we're not like straight up broccoli, but we're like maybe a protein bar that tastes really good.
I don't know if I like this marketing strategy. I don't know what we are.
Steak? Is that too heavy? We're not as heavy as steak. You know what I'm saying, though?
It's kind of like an interesting... pontificate on the matter.
Yeah, we'll have to... We'll come back to you guys with an official...
I'll ponder this.
Announcement.
Yeah.
Of what we identify as what food. Morty says, how's your day been? Love y'all from Kentucky.
My day's been good. I've been chilling.
My day's been long.
Yeah.
I got up.
Oh, yeah.
So I flew in this morning from Nashville and got up at 4 a.m. Nashville time, which is 2 a.m. L.A. time. Slept a little on the plane, but we're hanging in there. I'm like three espressos deep right now, you know.
I just woke up naturally. I'm feeling good. Nothing's wrong. I just woke up naturally. I you know, strolled into the office at my leisurely pace. Mm. I'm wearing, you know, this might look like a professional outfit, right? I've got like black slacks on from, you know, whatever women's professional brand or whatever. And then
Shein.
I'm wearing from Shein. I got for $4 on Shein. Yeah. And I am wearing fluffy pink slippers. That's what I wear around the office these days. I made the choice this week. You know, to just officially, I'm just going to commit to it because I had been bringing in, like, I'll bring in my heels, like, to make the outfit nice or whatever so people don't think I'm a slob. But I've just been wearing the slippers in the office.
Just owning it. But see, I told her she's got, like, the Kanye effect where you just wear something that looks kind of ridiculous and then people are like, oh, I guess that's just what, she's reached the level now where it's like, that's just cool, I guess, you know, yeah.
Can wear fluffy, fat slippers into the office.
Because, yeah, it's like an otherwise, like, a very, like, professional looking thing. And it's just like, bam, here's some fluffy, you know, Monsters, Inc. looking slippers. Let's see. Marin C. says, I had to have the same Shein conversation with my 12-year-old sister. And her response was, how can we help them? Frowny face. Help who? Help Shein?
See, at that point, you know, it becomes a losing game, right? Because, like, what can you do? You know what I mean? They're making $100 billion hand over fist.
Yeah.
Which I get why some people are like, you know, who cares? Because what are we going to do?
Yeah,
and people
like
are going to keep buying.
It's like, what are we?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I'm scared. We've thought about the video idea of doing like, how much of my day is owned by BlackRock? Like waking up, using your phone. Are the comforters on my bed owned by BlackRock? Is the water coming through my pipes owned by BlackRock? And stuff like that. I just feel like it'd be crazy. And do like that Black Mirror thing where, you know, the episode of Black Mirror where you could blur out people that you didn't want to talk to. I think it's called White Christmas. The best episode of Black Mirror.
I don't think I've seen that
ever one. To be made. You haven't seen that one?
Mm-mm.
Oh my gosh.
I don't like them. They kind of creep me out.
They do creep me out as well, but that episode was insanely good. But thought about doing that, like the blur effect on everything that's owned by BlackRock, and by the end of the video, just everything is blurred and you see nothing. Mm. How much of a black pill would that be for you guys?
It'd be a big black pill. I'm answering for the audience because they're not here. You kind of asked it like they're actually going to answer.
I often do that on the show. I realize I talk to you guys. I even do it in my little email blurbs. I forgot what I said in my last email blurb. But I was like, yeah, that thing I was talking to you guys about last week, was that last week? And I just write that and send it to you guys. I know you can't respond, but.
But yeah, if you haven't signed up, sign up for the weekly newsletter from Omelon.
Yeah, you can get my 3-paragraph stream of consciousness.
You don't get enough. Yeah.
No. Nothing of value, really, but it's other stuff going on in my life.
It's real, though. You know, a lot of people do, like, you join my email list or whatever, and right. You're actually getting something straight from the horse's mouth.
Straight from the heart.
Let's see. Sky says, random, but I recommend watching Outlast. It is a no-rules take on survival show that shows how unethical people get ahead. Created lots of discussion between my friends and I.
I would love to do a survival challenge at one point in my life.
I think...
like Michael Scott being dropped off in the
woods. Oh, no, I didn't watch this show. That looks terrifying. Oh, my God.
I'm scared to watch
Unless that's a video game or something, but... oh, yeah, it looks like it's a video game. My wife was watching some show on Discovery Channel that was like, they just drop a bunch of people off in some remote area, and then the last one to leave, or whoever stays the longest gets the money.
Yeah.
It's like 100 grand or something. And so they all, like, have these cool backstories and stuff and what they're trying to pay for and all that. And it was cool, but... I don't know if that's what she's talking about.
I feel like I'd make it halfway through a show like that. as long as the film crew intervenes when you're about to do something catastrophic, right? Like,
I don't think they... I mean, I think you have like an emergency satellite phone that you call when you're like at your wit's end or whatever.
Okay.
But otherwise, you're dropped off with your camera equipment and you just like film yourself.
But what if you're like... what if you got somebody who's like, a bush with berries on it? Let's feast! And then they die.
I don't know.
Do they just allow that to happen?
You have to be like a survival expert to go on this.
Oh, okay.
It's like a competition among survival.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
But that would be funny to have normies go on it.
Yeah, I'm just like, that seems treacherous.
Like when Michael Scott goes in the woods.
Oh, man. That'd be so funny. We should do that with all like the biggest conservative personalities and see who actually lasts the longest, because they all claim to be like, I want to be a homesteader and I want to like provide for my family, and see how far they actually get.
Someone with a very rough exterior would be a big sissy pants.
Yeah, yeah. You just never know.
I'm not thinking of anyone specifically, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Let's see. Alicia Shoemaker again says, first time live, been watching Unapologetic for a little bit now. Just started learning a bit, leaning a bit right. Love the content.
Thank you for watching, and we're glad that what we're saying is resonating with you.
Mm-hmm. And we'll always say, by the way, we get a lot of messages that are like, I used to be on the left and now I'm on the right, and I'm kind of like, we're not really trying to make people identify as being on the right, right? We're
right.
Like, but we celebrate that you're thinking freely and having critical thinking, and if you happen to get out of ideology, it's like, we're not trying to get you out of one ideology and into another per se. We're just chilling.
We're just trying to get you to question the narrative, you know.
And if that happens to overlap with a certain side, like, okay, on some things, but you know, I would anyway.
Exactly right.
Notice that a few times.
I like that point of clarification.
Julissa Castillo says nothing, but sends a super chat. So thank you.
Thank you.
Suspect X, same deal. Thank you for your super chat. Lunar Trigger says, also anime recommendations. Cowboy Bebop, Ghost in the Shell.
I've heard of both of those even.
So these are unfortunately somewhat how I see the future being at the rate we are going.
Okay, now I'm scared to watch it.
I know.
I think there's pretty good predictions out there of what the future is going to be like in a lot of the imaginary fantasy worlds that are being created. Kind of wild.
I am
Black Mirror being one of them. Gosh.
The SpongeBob episode. He's in the future. Anyways, that's less of a black pill.
I'm SpongeTron.
Julissa Castillo. Oh.
Julissa.
Sent another super chat. I forgot my message in the other super chat, but I did ketamine therapy. It's 2-hour transfusion of a slow drip. Got to be driven home. And it's for 6 sessions over 3 weeks. Definitely helped.
Yeah, I've heard it is quite successful. I haven't looked into any of the studies or anything on it, but I've just heard, you know, word of mouth.
Word up. Courtney Morrison says, Elon wouldn't need strength or fancy fighting. He could use some sort of Kill Bill type move. One simple, swift, and fast move. Instant victory.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that would be pretty boring for all the people who paid to watch. Hopefully it's a little bit more interesting than like one of those.
I don't know. Some of the most legendary fights are the one that end in like one punch.
Gosh, yeah, no. What was the one that the recent, not super recent UFC fight, but it's one that I watched in Vegas, and Kevin Holland and was it Khabib? Ugh. What's that?
There was like Ben Askren got kneed in the face by somebody and instant knocked out. And then Conor McGregor, Jose Aldo. those both lasted like 15 seconds.
Gosh. Yeah. And that's so lame. I get it. It's like people liked.
Someone got at the Tesla clutch.
Who was it? Do you guys know who it was?
Put it in the chat if you guys know.
No, it's not.
He
that
could have
one.
Like some like electrical device Chimaev. In his fist.
What?
He could have some electrical device in his fist, yeah, some fancy Tesla invention.
Imagine. No, it was Kamzat Chimaev.
Put it there.
That's who it was.
Who?
Kamzat Chimaev. I always get him confused with Khabib because their names. That's literally the only reason. And they're both Muslim, I believe. So
there you
easily
go.
Easily confused. But yeah, he lost in like less than a minute, I think.
Dang.
So boring.
Let's see. Nick Tyler says, been loyal to Unapologetic from the moment I listened to the Ambla Jordan Peterson podcast.
Wow.
I think that was a big one. There's a lot of people
that
who found
was
you
a big
that.
One. Yeah, dude. My brother was on the subway in New York, and it was the day the Jordan Peterson podcast came out, and he's just minding his own business, right? He's not into all that stuff. The guy next to him that was sitting down on the subway had my face on his phone, and my brother was just like, click, like got a picture of it and sent it to me, and he's like, saw your face on the subway today. And that's when I was like, oh, that's wild. What are the odds that that happens?
Jeez.
What are the odds?
Serendipity.
Yeah.
I just saw something my dude said. You skipped mine. Sorry, something my dude.
Sorry.
Here's the one. I found it. There is a longstanding belief that low-quality products are, quote-unquote, made in China. Just curious, does that mean that 1975 is also made there? Or their music is also made there? Not
Look
even
at
responding.
This. That's what you get
unamused,
for that.
Unamused. Let's see. Alex again says, just wanted to say I was remembering back to the Will and Amala days. Two of the funniest things were the spicy challenges and the skeleton gag.
Oh, the spicy challenges and the skeleton. I remember that. We need to bring, maybe we'll bring back the spice challenge. I could still do it. It's just so much unnecessary pain.
Mm. Yeah, you and I were willing to do it. Someone else.
We'll do it. I'm willing. I'm able and willing.
I feel like we need to do that with a guest, though.
Yeah.
Like, we sometimes struggle to figure out what to do with guests when they come in. So
yeah,
that'll
I don't think a guest is going to want Dennis will absolutely not. Spicy. He will absolutely not do that.
I mean, hey.
It's going to, you wouldn't get people to commit to it. That's the issue.
Let's see. Just a couple more here. Suspect X says, love your channel. I was stoked to see that you're on my friend's show, The Conversationalist. My name is Dasanka. Stoked to see the show starting to take off. Glad you were on.
Wait, Dasanka?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Dasanka.
You sounded like you recognized
her. No, yeah, you know Dasanka because she works with Sophie Barron, who you all should check out, on The Conversationalist, and she is amazing. And yeah, shout out to The Conversationalist. You should check out their work and their show, as they are constantly trying to bring together primarily Gen Z people to have difficult conversations. I was recently did an episode with them about identity, which was a fun time. A couple of the Gen Z people who were on the show actually were fans of my content, and then one person was not a fan of me at all. There was like a trans woman who was on, and for the most part it was very like amicable, everything was fine, but I did mention, we did get into the like issue of like cis versus not, and you know, women, you know, being sort of erased from society, and I made my whole statement about it, and then she was asked like, do you want to respond to that, and just went, nope, I'm not gonna respond to that statement. So, which is fine, you know, you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
I just wouldn't go on the show called The Conversation.
If you're not prepared to engage in conversation. I will not be voicing my opinion on this.
I will
on
not,
this
yeah.
show.
It's a show called POVs, which is so funny because you're supposed to give your POV.
Yeah.
But no, perfectly nice person, it seemed.
Interesting. Okay. Patricia Weiss says, Unapologetic is nutritious, a bit spicy, sometimes bittersweet, high fiber, mostly not always, easily digested food.
You're hired. You can write copy for us. Taylor's no longer writing the show description.
Yeah. Apparently. Nutritious, bit spicy, bittersweet. I don't know. That sounds like a strange concoction of.
Yeah. What are we? What are we? Are we like those like turmeric ginger lemon shots you
that's
buy
what came
at the
to
grocery
my mind
store.
Too. Nutritious, spicy, bittersweet, high fiber. Like
I do love those. I don't know that those are high fiber. They're definitely not high fiber. Actually, I can confirm they're not high fiber. But I do love a good turmeric ginger shot.
I get them when I'm sick because I feel like it's mostly a placebo effect, but I feel like it's doing something.
Yeah.
So. Nick Tyler, whichever food you identify as, I only ask that it doesn't have an undercarriage.
Remember, because Scott was talking about the undercarriage of the pizza.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, the weirdest word you could have chosen, Scott. Anyways.
It's a crust. Gremlin just sends a super chat, no message, and I think
that's it,
unless there's been more since I last refreshed, which, oh yeah, let's see.
Yes, there has.
Alex, one more time, says, question, where's somewhere you want to go or do that you haven't done or gone yet that is actually possible, excluding being a billionaire, etc.?
I have one on my list, and I'm going to cross it off the list come July. Amsterdam. I have a friend who lives out in Amsterdam who I've been friends with since we were wee children, and I'm going to see her. I don't know what accent that was.
It's Irish. Yeah.
I'm going to see her.
Dutch English accent would be hard.
Dutch English, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm honestly not even familiar enough to even give you a fake version of that. But yeah, I'm going to go see her in July.
We're going to look for a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. in Amsterdam. Yeah. I went to Amsterdam once. It was dope.
I bet it's very, very cool.
Mm-hmm. They have like water taxis.
Yeah, they do, you know, they have all the weed and shrooms everywhere, whatever. Maybe I need to, imagine I just step completely out of my comfort zone and just take psychedelics and vlog Amsterdam for you guys. Imagine.
Amala goes to Amsterdam and doesn't come back.
Yeah. Lost.
Yikes.
Lost in the sauce. I'm not willing to do that, by the way.
Yeah. That sounds like a bad idea.
Sounds like a horrendous idea. Especially I'm going there, you know, by train.
There's
myself.
Like the Rijks Museum, I think, there, the really famous museum.
And there's even more important than whatever that is.
The Van Gogh art and all that.
Have you seen The Fault in Our Stars?
No, but I know what it is.
Okay. That's where they filmed part of it. They did a whole trip to Amsterdam. I used to love that book when I was, you know, I loved that. I used to love John Green books, so The Fault in Our Stars. They filmed a lot of the iconic scenes there.
Okay.
It's exciting.
I mean, I can't hate because you were talking about going to London and I'm like, I would be doing all the Harry Potter stuff. So
yeah, exactly. Whatever. Exactly.
Cassidy Borwig says, finding other young women with traditional / conservative values is so hard. Thank you for being an amazing role model to me and other young women.
Happy to oblige. Welcome to the squad.
Yeah. And if you haven't, you can always join our Discord. Find more like-minded folks to chat about any number of things with.
Yeah.
It's linked in the description below. Lex says, the bill passed in Canada that will make social media pay our government in order for us to use it. Meta said they will be backing out of Canada.
That's Wait, make who news. Pay?
Make social media companies, I guess, pay the government in order for the people to be able to use it.
Oh, I haven't
that
heard of such a thing.
Crazy.
Sounds a little strange.
Similar note, did you see the story this week about like they're spending some number of billions of dollars to get like certain number of households? The U.S. government is doing this to get Wi-Fi, to like service people with Wi-Fi, and it's like $5,000 per household that they're having to spend to give Wi-Fi for a year. Just like gross example. Like underprivileged people at some program. I sent you the article on Twitter. I can't remember.
$5,000.
Yeah.
Is that to like set up the like, you know,
It's a giant holes? Government program that is designed to give people Wi-Fi, underprivileged people Wi-Fi. But when you calculate it out, it is literally like $5,000 per household. There's like no way it should
cost
that much.
I'm suspicious. I mean, I'm all for helping people get connected to the internet, but what does $5,000 per home?
Right. I wish I had the article, but yeah, anyways.
That's suspicious.
A little suspicious. Let's see. Silver Dollar. I think we're almost done here. Silver Dollar.
Okay.
Been watching since the Corolla show. Love the show. What's the left's view of Hodge twins?
Oh, what's the left's view?
I guess. What's left's view of Hodge twins?
I don't know. I imagine they're not
don't
fans.
Think they're funny. Yeah.
I imagine they hate the Hodge twins. But I think they're all right. I've
when
seen
were you
some
on Corolla? That was
a long time ago.
Yeah.
Months and months.
Months? I thought it was like last year at least.
Yeah, last year, I think. It all blends together. I'm so sorry, guys. I don't know what the timeline is on that.
Adria Acosta says, I studied global consumerism. We can only do what we can, forgive ourselves, and stay diligent to support causes that help remedy these issues. No one said life was supposed to be easy. Thanks to all of you. Love your show.
That does sound about right. I'm inclined to agree.
Lex, again, this is the last one I see. Bill C16, I don't think it affects the C-18. I'm sorry, C-16 was a Jordan Peterson one. Bill C-16, I don't, C-18, I don't think it affects the average person, but this is just the first step.
Hmm. In regard to, oh, the Canada and the social media thing.
Yeah.
Okay, Bill, I'm going to type that in, Bill C-18. I'm going to look into that. We did say, let us know what's going on in your respective regions. Another one here from Lil Ms. J says, does your organization have anything up in Canada? No, we're headquartered here, right here in LA. We've got a few people who work in Florida, a few in Nashville now, and that's about it. But all of our content is, you know, available to anyone anywhere.
We're global now. I feel like 50%, I think that's true, like 40% of the audience is not in North America for Unapologetic.
So. Crazy. So we're always available, although we are not there locally. Yep. Suspect X says, haha, Dasanka from The Conversationalist is my friend. My name is Nate. Oh, hi, Nate. It's nice to have you on the show. Send Dasanka my regards, clearly. Just gave her a glowing review. Lunar Trigger says, you missed my first one. Keep up the good work, though. Did you miss the first one?
I read a Lunar Trigger earlier. Oh. I resent that. No, I'm just kidding.
Hearsay.
Let's.
This is becoming a he said, she said.
Uh-huh. Lunar Trigger, you missed my first one. Okay, well, that was down there a ways.
Well, at this point.
I don't know. I'm sorry, Lunar.
One more from Ciota Stroud. Thank you so much. We appreciate your first super chat to the show. And with that being said, guys, that brings our show to an end. Thank you so much for watching. Hope you enjoyed your time here. We're going to be back tomorrow with a video. What's tomorrow's video about, Taylor?
Oh, my gosh. It's
all starting to...
The crime.
Tomorrow's, I'm not even going to tell you guys what it's about. You guys just wait and you will see. It is a very, very interesting video about a topic that we have yet to really cover in depth on this show. So be on the lookout. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live, which is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. One more from Sylvia Penhurst. She says, thanks much for running this podcast. Makes me feel sane at University of Delaware, surrounded by judgment, hypocrisy, overlabeling, and guilt trips. We're glad to make you feel more at home, Sylvia. Make you a little bit more comfortable at your crazy university campus. Guys, thank you so much for watching. We'll see you tomorrow. Hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. Peace out.